Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick, and I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at the Viking Age, and you can also follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, on today's show, we've got Dominic Pfister from us here at the Viking Age. He is here to help us recap. The Vikings got a win. They got their first win of the 2021 season. They beat the Seahawks convincingly, 30-17 at home. Got their first win. So welcome back to the show, Dominic.
Yeah, it's great to be back on. Great to be talking about a Vikings win. It's been some time now since we've been talking about a Vikings win.
Yeah, since week 17 last year, they beat the Lions to end their season on a high note, I guess. But they got a big win today, beat the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks were only favored by one or two going into the game. So I guess oddsmakers thought it would be a close game. There's obviously optimistic Vikings fans, but I don't know too many that were like, the Vikings can beat the Seahawks by 13 points. I think that was probably the most shocking thing of the day. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, so the Seahawks were favored by two. They were minus
two or one. It fluctuated during the week.
And I think the over-under was 54, so they were expecting a shootout with both teams' defenses struggling really over the past two seasons. And for the Vikings to come out and play a clean game like they did today, I think it's very encouraging. You look at the first three games of the year at Cincinnati, it looked like they had never practiced before. Right. And then they cleaned it up a little bit in Arizona, didn't make enough plays to win the game or enough kicks.
Right.
But still, they battled in the end. We're still having some struggles on defense. And I think today they put it together. And I think this is as an optimistic Vikings fan, I think this is the finished product, but I think this is the team that we expect to see on the field more often than not this year.
I think I've heard a lot of people be like, oh, the Vikings, week one was the fourth preseason game. That was the Vikings, and now they're going to be, back to normal. And the thing is, especially on the defensive side, this team has a lot of new players that really didn't play together in the preseason because a lot of them sat. So they're still getting used to each other as well. You got the injuries to Dalvin Cook and Christian Darrisaw and Anthony Barr. So that's some things to take in account. But, okay, typically we go over positives and negatives after each game. And since the Vikings won, we will go over the positives from this Week 3 victory over the Seahawks. So I'll just start off and go with Kirk Cousins. I think it's pretty easy. He had a very good game. He's had a very solid, very impressive start to his season. He hasn't thrown an interception yet. I don't think he's turned the ball over yet. He's fumbled a couple times, but I think he's recovered all of them. He had another game over 300 yards today, three touchdowns. Made a lot of, I feel like, good throws on third down. He had that one where he was backing up or he's getting blitzed and he just chucked it to KJ Osborne. I don't know what's changed about him, but I don't know if he makes that throw like last year or the year before where he just takes a risk and just chucks it up there. I don't know. It seems like he's picked, like his trust with KJ Osborne is built up really fast, which is good for the Vikings because that frees up opportunities for Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. But I was impressed with Kirk Cousins. He had to step up because Dalvin Cook was out today. And he even like moved around the pocket. He had that, random the read option where he ran the ball. Maybe didn't need to do that, but it was still nice to see them try and do something different. But I was impressed with Kirk Cousins. I've been impressed with him this season. It seems like he's maybe coming out of his shell. I don't know. They mentioned him meeting with Mike Zimmer every week now, and maybe it seems like that might be helping. Maybe Zimmer's offering him some tips that he sees each week. Like, hey, you know, he seems like he's getting the ball out quicker. So maybe he's telling him, like, as a defense, if you get the ball out quick, you know, we don't have a chance to get to you. So maybe he's like just learning some things from Zimmer too, but he's looked great.
Yeah, I agree. I think this was Kirk Cousins' best game as a Viking since we signed him. He just looks comfortable back there. He looks, in years past, I think he would have taken a sack instead of hit KJ Osborne.
Right.
There was, I think it was either the drive before or the drive after the KJ Osborne play. Russell Wilson had a chance to make like the same play, and he threw it a little high on third down.
Was that the guy who tried to get the one-hand catch?
Yeah. So really, really good game for Kirk Cousins. Really good game for the Vikings offense. I think that not being too dependent on Dalvin Cook and still running for 140 yards today was really good. Justin Jefferson's back. He's all the way back today.
Oh, yeah.
9 catches, over 100 yards, touchdown. So to get him involved is really good. I think that, it was just the cleanest game they've played this season. But I think maybe offensively one of the best games of the Zimmer era as well.
Oh, offensively, easily. It definitely was. I'm trying to think of some other good offensive games. Maybe Kirk's first year when they played the Packers. I know they put up a lot of points with that when they tied them. That was the Daniel Carlson game. I feel like when they played the Cowboys, maybe in 2019 on Sunday Night Football, I feel like they did well on offense there against the Saints in the playoffs. And most of these games are with Dalvin on the field, so the fact that he wasn't out there was impressive. And I feel like I want to get out there in front of this because I feel like a lot of people are gonna be like, "Oh, well, they did so well without Dalvin. Why did they pay him so much money? They don't need him anymore. They can't do this every week without him. You know, a team is eventually gonna figure out how to stop Alexander Mattison. Like, teams are still trying to figure out how to stop Dalvin Cook because he's just so elusive and everything, and he's much different. He adds so much more to their offense. But I think this week allows them to maybe step back and look like, hey, we can look at different ways to maybe use Dalvin in the offense, because I feel like they use Madison a lot in the screen game, and that proved to work very well. I know they did that a bunch last year with Dalvin too, but I feel like they kind of shied away from it this year. But maybe they'll do that more. But I feel like they shouldn't feel the obligation to get Dalvin like 30 touches every week like they might have in the past. You feel the same way?
Yeah, I was actually thinking that was in some of my notes that I had coming into this, was that if anything, today shows that the Vikings can win, you know, put up points without relying on Dalvin Cook, but also that going forward, I think the biggest takeaway would be to get Alexander Mattison some more touches, some more carries to take that beating off of Dalvin Cook, because it's a 17-game season. Mm-hmm. He's not a Derrick Henry type back where you can kind of just let him get 30 carries a game.
It's week three. He's already hurt.
Yeah, it's exact. And the ankle's tough, especially for someone who relies on sharp cuts and burst of acceleration like Dalvin Cook. He might come back next week. I don't think he'll be 100% for a couple weeks. On an ankle injury for a running back, it's pretty significant.
Right.
So to have Alexander Mattison involved and just limit that pitch count a little bit for Dalvin Cook going forward, I think is really big.
Yeah, I think it allows you to maybe even rest him again next week because you don't feel so worried about not having him. I'm curious to see, because next week is against Kevin Stefanski and the Browns, and I'm curious to see, like, you know, what he tells his defense and stuff, how to play the Vikings receivers and everything. But he wasn't here with Jefferson, so he doesn't know, you know, what his tendencies are and stuff. Obviously, he can watch film and figure that out. But and I feel like Kirk Cousins might be a different player than when he was there, because he's been gone for a year and a half now, and I feel like Kirk Cousins has probably changed as a player since Stefanski was there, but he also knows some of his old habits, so he might be able to get him on that. Any other positives that you had today from today's win?
I think Tyler Conklin today.
Yep.
Looks really good. Definitely a positive there. We talked about Alexander Mattison, Greg Joseph.
Yeah, he needed today.
I think the entire whole fan base needed it today. Greg Joseph needed it today. Mike Zimmer needed it today. I think a positive was the route concepts that we ran today. It seemed two offensive schematic things. I thought Clint Kubiak did a great job today, play calling. It seemed for the past year or so that the Vikings would love to run the ball on second and long.
Mm-hmm.
And that used to drive me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But I went through today and they did not run the ball on second and I'll define second and long in this case as like more than second and seven. So
okay. The
only time they did that was at the end of the game when they're just trying to kill the clock. But there's been plenty of drives I've seen where it would be like incomplete pass on first down. Second and 10 run for like a yard. Now we're third and nine and we punt. So I thought he did a great job. First two games, it looked like all we did was rely on like slants. So KJ Osborne slant on third down or Adam Thielen slant against the Bengals on fourth down, kind of breaking a long one. But it seemed like we were relying on that and just kind of forcing our receivers to beat in one-on-ones instead of running better concepts. I liked the KJ Osborne kind of running a drag on that third down was nice, but also, yeah, just better play calling, better. It looked like there's just a lot more trust in the offense.
Yeah, it seemed like there was a lot more option routes, I guess you could say, with the receivers. They had a lot more freedom to, you know, because I feel like the Seahawks were playing a lot of zone coverage, so they were able to just find where the pockets were, and Kirk did a good job finding them. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. I agree with Greg Joseph. He needed that. He could have kicked like two 10-yard field goals, and that would have been fine too. I think those are the loudest cheers I've ever heard for like 30-yard field goals. Matt Prater, the Cardinals kicker who hit that long 60-yard-plus-yard kick last week against the Vikings, he tried a 68-yarder today and got returned for a touchdown, which was a terrible idea by the Cardinals coach, Cliff Kingsbury. I was watching that game, and I'm like, they're attempting how long? But then, you know, Justin Tucker went out and hit a 66-yard field goal. So, you got the guy and you think he can make it, then go for it. The difference with Prater's was his was outside, where Tucker's was indoors. So he had a little more weather control. But, yeah, good for Greg Joseph. Tyler Conklin, yeah, he played well. I think he set career highs, actually, for catches and receiving yards in a game. So it's good to see him kind of, you know, improving as each week goes on. And I feel like Kirk Cousins is trusting him more. He seems kind of like another option on third down for Kirk Cousins to have, which is great. Let's see some more positives. I think the offensive line looked pretty good again today for the second straight week. They did allow a sack, but there wasn't a ton of pressure. And obviously they blocked well running the ball. So, you know, anytime where you're like, I'm pretty sure the offensive line did good, where you're not like complaining about it all the time afterwards, I think is a good sign that they're at least, you know, average. So I think they're just waiting though, because Rashad Hill, I feel like, is obviously clearly the weak link on that offensive line. They got to get, what's his name, Darisaw in there before that goes wrong. Let's see, home crowd being back. I feel like that was a gigantic plus. That made a huge difference because Russell Wilson couldn't hear himself, you know, think or whatever. The defensive adjustments in the second half, they had a shutout in the second half. And I'm sure a lot of that had to do, too, with the offense having the ball. They had some long drives in the second half.
Yeah, they kicked Russell Wilson off the field today with 35 minutes of possession. I think the Vikings played I think they just played their game today. I think they were able to stick to their script and stay on schedule, and I think it's a perfect situation. I think it was just a perfect situation. They got to do what they're comfortable doing.
Yeah, and with that noise from the crowd, they were able to get a bunch of defensive pressure. Saw Danielle Hunter back there. He saw Everson Griffin making some noise. I think he got a sack. He also had a penalty they probably shouldn't had.
oh yeah, they're roughing the pass.
Yeah, that was questionable, but he could have not done that. But that's at the same time, I think they were already up 13. So it's like, yeah, all right, okay, you can let it go. I don't even think Zimmer was fazed by it. He was just like, all right, whatever. That's Everson. I feel like Everson Griffin gets a penalty in a game. If it's not offsides, it's something else. But he looks pretty good as a situational kind of guy. I feel like the secondary looked a lot better in the second half. And I think that's all I got for positive. We mentioned Justin Jefferson. He looks great. Adam Thielen caught another touchdown. I think he's caught a touchdown every game this year.
Yeah, he's
so far.
I think.
Yeah,
he's their red zone target.
Just like if Kirk Cousins doesn't go to Thielen on like the first down in the red zone, you know he's gonna look for him on like the next two at least, because that's his guy. When he's in there, that's his guy. Let's see. Oh, one positive I had that I took away from the announced team, Mark Sanchez. Not too bad. Like, I was expecting, here's, Mark Sanchez, USC guy, like, former Jets quarterback. I'm sure he's, like, not that great, but he was pretty good. He provided a lot of insight. He had an interesting line about Kirk Cousins and wearing trousers, up to his navel or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right. But no, I thought it was good. It's good. I feel like they're getting some good mixes in there. New guys, like last week they had Aqib Talib in there.
Yeah, that was a good one last
Gus
week.
Gus Johnson. Yeah. I watched the Cardinals game today. I had Gus Johnson and Aqib Talib again. And Gus Johnson was going crazy on that kick return. In typical Gus Johnson fashion, if you've ever heard him from like his college basketball days and everything. Why isn't he a number one announcer? I don't know. I don't understand that. I feel like he'd be. A lot less people might hate him than they do Joe Buck. But I guess Joe Buck is the professional. Do you have more positives before we move on to the negatives?
No, I think we just about covered everything there. I think
we didn't get mad at Mike Zimmer for any like timeouts or anything today, did we?
No, actually going into the game, I was early season overreactions, just kind of thinking, what is the Vikings identity? What is is Zimmer a good fit for this team right now? It just didn't seem like, especially coming off of Cal Rudolph's comments, that it just seemed like there was so much drama surrounding.
Oh, the recent team. Ones?
Yeah, the recent. Yeah, the recent.
That he had to like clear up on Twitter and everything.
That were 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like there was a lot of distractions that were surrounding this team. And always. I think for them just to come in, just for them to come in and take care of business today was the ultimate positive for me.
I think one last thing, because I wrote this down before, is Jordan Berry's punt at the end of the game. That was a beautiful punt in the coffin corner there. Got it right in there. That's what they brought him in for. And they were up a lot. They didn't really need it, but it was just nice to. They're like, all right, if Russell Wilson wants to, come back, he's got to drive 99 yards, get an offensive, an offsides kick, and then try and score again. So that was good. They beat Russell Wilson. They got their first win against the Seahawks since 2009. I believe that was Russell Wilson's first game, regular season game, in U.S. Bank Stadium. I know they played in the preseason there before, but his last game against the Vikings when they were home was the 2015 playoff game, which the Vikings should have won, if not for Blair Walsh. Former Seahawks kicker Blair Walsh.
Former Seahawks kicker Blair Walsh.
Yeah. But I think, it was very lots of positives to take away. I don't have too many negatives. What do you have some negatives from today?
Just Chris Carson's touchdown run. I think the run defense from Minnesota, Chris Carson, 80 yards touchdown on the ground today. I think Joe Mixon ran all over us in week one. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some. It could be just the lack of Anthony Barr right now. I think Nick Vigil has been playing fantastic. Not to say he's not doing a good job, but I think that the defense is struggling to stop the run early this year. Great to see a shutout in the second half, but it started to get to the point where like we have a defensive coach, but we can't play defense.
Mm-hmm. They did. They made. That's the one thing I like about Zimmer. He seems to make a lot of good halftime adjustments. Ooh, Packers and 49ers are tied at 27 with 30 seconds to go.
Rodgers, Hail Mary.
Let's see. Who has the ball? The ball is on. Let's see. The ball is on the Green Bay 48, and the Packers have the ball. So
we know how this one ends.
And pick six. 49ers win the game. No, I'm kidding. Zimmer makes a lot of good second half adjustments. The Seahawks had no points in the second half. Obviously, that was much better than the 17 they gave up in the first half. In the first half, the defense just looked like it was going to be another, game against the Cardinals. Russell Wilson still had almost 300 yards passing. I think most of that probably came in the first half. And, like, they're just – I don't know. I feel like it's been this way for a while where, like, the Vikings let their opponent kind of get away with some stuff in the first couple drives just to see, like, what they're going to do. And then they make the adjustments where I'm like, well, why don't you just stop them to begin with? Why do we got to, like, see what they're going to do? Just you know, play your defense the way you want to play it and stop them instead of giving up points where you got to come from behind. Luckily, they were able to do that today. But, yeah, the first half defense was just, it wasn't good this week. It wasn't good the week before. It just, that's something they got to fix. Maybe it's because one of my negatives is Bashaud Breeland. Maybe it's because he's still out there starting. I know he's a veteran. He's got experience. But he's just not cutting it. Like, he gave up that, was the touchdown, was it to DK Metcalf or was it to somebody else? But I know he gave up a touchdown in the first quarter. He missed a bunch of tackles again. And then that led to probably this tweet from Cam Dantzler about how, you know, he doesn't want to bite his tongue anymore. And this was like 15 minutes after the game, after they won a game. And it's like, you know, I understand Cam Dantzler's frustrations, but you can't do that. Like, if you want to, you think this is going to, that's going to let you, like, that's, they're going to want to play you now because you tweeted that? Like, no, that's not going to happen. He might have had a chance to play next week if he didn't do that. Maybe he will now. But I don't think that's the right move for Cam Dantzler to take. And this, I guess maybe this is the dad in me talking, but, like, you know, just, you know, wait for your time. It's going to come. You had the opportunity last week to play, and he did well. And if Bashaud Breeland, you know, maybe the Vikings wanted to make a change for next week, and now maybe they don't because Cam Dantzler, you know, posted that tweet. So,
yeah, I think cryptic tweets being back are.
Yeah, we don't need that anymore. We had enough of that with Stephon Diggs. Come on, like,
I saw something today.
Was there any other, like, cryptic Vikings tweets or players that did that? I don't. Everson Griffin was pretty forward with his comments and in his tweets. He didn't wasn't very cryptic.
Yeah, it wasn't very cryptic. Also, Cam Dantzler had a whole season last year.
Yeah.
To kind of gain experience and get his feet wet. And I think that maybe all I think about is the Seattle game last year where he's like spinning in circles as DK Metcalf is running by.
Part of the reason why the Seahawks came back.
Yeah.
He gave up that long pass.
So my heart doesn't really break for Cam Dantzler. but yeah, don't handle your business like that.
No, no. Don't put it out in the open. Now the public sees it. Now they're going to talk about it. Now they're going to ask Zimmer about it. They're going to ask, you know, the defensive coaches about it. Now they have to answer it all.
Just more distractions, more drama.
Yeah, when it could have just been, you know, something behind closed doors, you know, air your grievances or whatever. And maybe he has. Maybe he's just frustrated with not getting on the field. I'm curious to see, like, what the snap counts were now. Like, if he even got on the field for special teams. Because he said he was willing to do whatever earlier this week, like hold a field goal or whatever. He doesn't care to do whatever to get on the field.
Diggs earns the right to express his frustration however he wants. Cam Dantzler is a second-year backup cornerback.
And he only started last year because the Vikings really didn't have anyone else.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was like this superstar first round. He was drafted in the third round.
Yeah.
You
didn't earn that. You didn't earn Cam Dantzler. So,
he's a cornerback too. You got to be cornerbacks are usually pretty confident in themselves and their abilities, and you have to be to like have a short memory to play that position. But yeah, I just saw that and I'm like, I looked at the time and I'm like, you just won. Like, what? As soon as you got to your phone, that's what you had to do?
It was the first thing. Yeah, that's not a Minnesota Viking.
No. Everyone else is like, we got to win, score. And he's like, I'm not going to bite my tongue anymore. And it's like, come on, man. And I saw Zimmer like stormed out of the press conference too. Well, that's what someone tweeted. I don't know if he actually did storm out of the press conference because someone asked him, you know, how did it feel to finally beat Seattle? I guess he didn't like that question, which is kind of weird because Zimmer's usually like one to just stand up to people asking questions if he thinks they're dumb. But he obviously didn't like that. One of my other negatives is we talked about before. That Everson Griffin penalty, just something you don't need to do. If the game was closer, that would have been huge. because I believe that happened on a, it was either a third down or was a second down that would have ended up as a long third down. And I don't even know if it was the first thing that he did or it was like the follow up, because he had to give him a little nudge afterwards, because he's a veteran and he knows he's trying to get into Russell Wilson's head, I guess, maybe, but you don't need to do that. Like,
yeah, don't need, those are the little things, I think. I don't, as much as we say, like, let's not overreact over, like, the loss against Cincinnati Bengals.
Right.
Let's not overreact about the great win today, but let's not overreact and say we're back on the Super Bowl train here.
The season's back. The season's back on track.
Season's back. Green Bay won, by the way, so not going to bed in front of play. Well, what are you going to do? But we got a lot of games left. I don't think the Seattle team is very good.
No.
I think that
their defense is not good.
I think there's a lot of work to do, but there's a lot of time to do a lot of work. So I think that Vikings are turn that ship around and are going in the right direction, but I don't want, let's not overreact.
No.
Yet.
No, I season's back on track. There's a bunch of 1-2 teams that are like pretty decent this year. I know the Chiefs are 1-2 now. Chiefs are 1-2. The Patriots are 1-2. The Steelers are 1-2. Who else? Washington football team. The Bears. The Bears are terrible today.
Yeah.
The Seahawks obviously are 1-2. There's some decent, obviously the Vikings are 1-2. There's some decent 1-2 teams that are probably gonna make the playoffs this year. There's no way the Chiefs can miss the playoffs.
There's
no way. They've had a very tough schedule to begin their season. The Chiefs have.
That division's brutal.
Yeah, and the Broncos have played. The Broncos are 3-0, and they've played They played like the Jaguars, the Jets, and like the Texans or something. They haven't played anybody that's been worth raving about. But the Bengals won today, so that makes the week one loss look a little better, I feel like, because they beat the Steelers today.
Yeah, I think the Bengals aren't as
in bad. Pittsburgh, I think, too.
Yeah, oh my God, how great. Did you see the video today of Ben Roethlisberger rolling out and throwing that screen pass and falling? No. Oh my God.
I saw the Jamar Chase touchdown catch, which was really nice.
Najee Harris, 19 targets today.
Passing?
Yeah.
What? He's a running back, right?
Yeah.
Oh, don't they have like good receivers in Pittsburgh? They have Juju Smith and they have Claypool and Washington.
James Washington, yeah.
Okay.
He runs that end.
Yeah, I think it's the time has come for
Big
Ben Roethlisberger to hang it up. Last year, I thought he was probably done, but he's trying to be like Phillip Rivers or like Tom Brady, like, oh, I can play too. And it's like, nah, no, you can't. It kind of looks like how Drew Brees was last year, where it's like he knows where to throw the ball, he knows where things should be, but he just can't get it there anymore. His arm just doesn't have the capability. You saw that with Peyton Manning at the end of his career. You know, with a bunch of guys at the end of their career, your body just is like, no, we can't do it anymore.
Yeah, Father Time's undefeated.
Yeah. But that's all I got. I didn't have any people that I wasn't sure about either. Oh, did we talk? We talked about Clint Kubiak too in the positives. I thought that was he's done well so far. I feel like I think the Vikings have had over 400 total yards on offense every game this year, which I don't remember the last time they did that. So I'm impressed. And the bad thing is, if he keeps doing well, he's gone again.
Yeah. We can't keep an offensive coordinator.
Well, yeah, that's the thing with defensive head coaches. That's going to happen if you have a successful offensive coordinator. I guess unless you're the Bills and you get to keep your guy for like 3 years, which is weird. Brian Daboll. But yeah, same thing with offensive guys, though. I feel like they go through defensive coordinators. So you look at Kyle Shanahan, he's had a couple down there, and Sean McVay as well. So it goes both ways. But that's all I got today. Where can people follow you on Twitter, Dominic?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Nucci_17. That's NUCCI_17.
Go follow him. Follow the Viking Age on Twitter. Follow us or like our Facebook page. Subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, we will talk to you later.